So this is an extension of the topic that we began last week, and the topic is the person of Jesus Christ. If you remember, the first week we were talking about the infancy of Christ, which means his conception in Mary. We talked also about his birth. We talked also about the joyful mysteries, right? Which were the five, right? The Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of our Lord, the presentation of finding the child Jesus in the temple. We also talked, if your memory is good, about the parents of Jesus. And we mentioned their name, right? And they are, the mother of Jesus is Mary, and the father of Jesus, Jose, or Saint Joseph. And what type of work did he do? He was a carpenter. Carpenter works with wood, right? Wood and nails and saws and makes tables and windows and houses. Hard work, huh? So this was the infancy of Christ, and it led to his life as a teenager. And how long did he spend in that little house of Nazareth? 30 years, right? So 30 years he was there in his private life, and then he enters into what is called his public life, right? That's what we're going to study today, going from the private life of Christ, his infancy, into his public life, which lasted a relatively short time. So 30 years in his private life, and only 3 years, short time, isn't it? 3 years in his public life. Who is that person? What is that picture depicting? The baptism. Okay, who baptized Jesus? Do you know?
St. John the Baptist.
St. John the Baptist. Where was he baptized?
The Jordan.
What's that? The Jordan River, right? The Jordan River. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and he was 30 years old. So there we have the start of this chapter. So Jesus is true God and true man. He is the Son of God made man. He is the incarnate Word. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is the center and focal point of all human history. He divided the calendar into two parts, B.C. and A.D. Did you know that? Yeah. He divided the calendar into two parts, B.C., right, before Christ, right? And A.D. would be the Latin ad dominum, which is Latin for from the Lord. Yes?
So was he born in B.C. or A.D.?
Well, you know, exactly when he was born, we say 2019. That's from when our Lord was born. Was he born exactly 2019 years ago? Exactly, maybe not, but about that time. Okay, about 2020 years ago our Lord was born. So before that you got B.C., before Christ, and A.D. would be ad dominum, which is Latin for, dominum means the Lord, from the Lord's birth, ad dominum. Okay. So Jesus should be the center and focus of our life in time and in eternity. Okay? From private life to public life. We have already learned the basics of the private life of Jesus, from his birth up to 30 years of age. Now it is time to turn our attention to what is called the public life of Jesus. So let's say our prayer. Prayer. Together, Holy Spirit, come to my aid. Let's say it again. Holy Spirit, come to my aid. Help me to be truly get to know Jesus during the time of his public life. Imitate him all the days of my life. Amen. So how long did the private or hidden life of Jesus last on earth? It lasted most of his earthly life, and that would be 30 years. So what was Jesus doing during these 30 years? Jesus was, remember last week, praying, listening to his parents, and he was obeying. Okay? Praying, listening to his parents, and obeying them. Then Jesus was taught by Saint Joseph, his earthly father, the art of being a carpenter. This he carried out with perfection until he was 30 years of age. How long did the public life of Jesus last?
33 years.
So in contrast to his private life of 30 years, the public life lasted only about
three
short years. In a short time, Jesus transformed the world. His public life lasted from 30 to 33 years of age. Short time, huh? Relatively short time to change the whole world in 3 years. Is there any place where we can learn about Jesus' life? Because sometimes people will ask me, well, how do you know Jesus existed? It's kind of a good question. And I usually respond by saying, did George Washington exist? Did Abraham Lincoln exist? What do you think? You ever hear of Abraham Lincoln? Haven't heard of him? How about George Washington? Who was George Washington? What's that?
I would say, if he didn't exist, how come stories lasted for so long of him?
Yeah, that's a good question. But do you guys study history in school?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's books, there's history books on George Washington, right? Probably thousands, no? So there's books on Abraham Lincoln. Are there any documents to talk about the life of Jesus? What?
Perhaps.
Yes, we got four very famous documents. Not one, but nor two, but four. And I think once I tell you guys just say, "Oh, I didn't think about it that way." But once I tell you, you're going to say, "That's cool." They are the Bible. But the Bible is the Old Testament. What about the life of Jesus? The Bible tells you, you got Old Testament, New Testament. What about the New Testament? Great. Okay, there you have it. So it's not just one gospel. You got four gospels. So if it were just maybe one gospel, I think, well, maybe that gospel writer didn't know what he was doing. But you got four different gospels. And three of them are called the synoptics. And they say almost the same thing. So those four gospels, what are they? Go ahead. What are the four Gospels? You're faking ignorance so that you won't, he won't feel bad. No? You know, right? Tom, I think once you say, you're going to say, well, I've heard that before. Maybe I heard it in Spanish. What are they?
Michael, Mark, Luke, and John.
Michael? Because no, it's Matthew, right? Yeah, okay, good. So it's Matthew. I'm going to write that in there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Got that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what I want you to do next to each of those names, I want you to write the initial, because if you guys ever read a spiritual book on the New Testament, you're not going to see the whole word. You're just going to see an abbreviation. Right? Okay, so for Matthew, how is it abbreviated if you're reading like a Catholic spiritual book? It's usually two letters. You know? Pretty simple. You say, for example, they're making a reference to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. They're not going to write the whole word Matthew. They're going to write, you guys know. Okay, it's MT. You're not going to see the whole word written. And if you see 5:8, what does that mean? Okay, we talked about this. So this would be the chapter and this would be the verse. Good. Yeah, I just want, you guys are going to be reading spiritual books, hopefully in the future. You're going to see these abbreviations. You're going to say, what the heck are these small letters? You have to know what they refer to. Okay, now Mark, what would it be? Luis? You know. Well, what would be the abbreviation, the two letters? What? Okay, good try, but it would be another. MK. Do you know Spanish? What do you think would be in Spanish? How do you say Mark in Spanish? Marcos? So what were you saying? What would it be in Spanish? It would be MC. Okay, how about Luke? What do you think it's going to be?
Okay.
Luke. LK. Anyone how to speak, say Luke in Spanish? Lucas? What would it be? No, see. If you're talking with your mom and your dad who speak more Spanish, they probably are accustomed to read the Spanish Bible, right? How about the last gospel would be, what do you think?
J-H.
Not J-H, no.
J-N.
So it's J-N. Okay, why don't we do this? It's not written there, but why don't we write down the number of chapters in each of those Gospels? You're going to go home, your parents are going to be impressed. You tell them how many chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They say, wow, these kids are really getting to know the Bible, huh? Matthew, there are, write it in, right next to it, there are 28 chapters. Mark, there are 16 chapters.
16?
Yeah, 16. Luke, there are 24 chapters. John, there are 21 chapters. Let me impress your mom and dad at dinner. Mom, man, tell me the Gospels. Oh, what? I don't remember all that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, tell me how many chapters. They're going to say, wow, I don't know about that. I'll tell you. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21. They're going to be impressed. They're going to think that you're Bible scholars. You're going to become Bible experts and Bible teachers when you graduate from high school, huh? But then you have to start to read the Bible, not simply know the number of the chapter. You have to read the Bible too, right? Once I played a trick on the confirmation students. I gave them all a Bible, and they said, whoever can find Mark 17:17, I'll give $20. So they're really going really fast. Whoever can find Mark 17:17 first time, we have $20. Well, Father's going to give us $20, no? Did you hear what I said? I said, Mark 17:17. How many chapters in Mark? Ah, I got you. Father, you tricked us. Well, I'm not going to give my money away to you guys. Should have said, I know, he's only got 16. You don't know the Bible, Father. Well, I did that to trick you guys, no? I might do it maybe a little bit later. I'll see if you guys you're still awake, huh? In another class, because you'll be ready for today, huh? Ready, Freddy? Me explica, Federico? Entiendes, Mendes? Lista, Calixto? Okay, the word gospel means evangelio. Gospel means, nope. Gospel means good news. Write that in there. Gospel means good news. Sometimes they'll name a daughter, they might name her Evangelina. That means her name is good news. Even though she maybe brings bad news home because she got a bad grade, but her name means good news. Okay. Like Mary, meditate. How can Mary teach us? The lady pondered, reflected, meditated in the Word of God in her most pure and immaculate heart. For us to get to know and love Jesus, we should read and meditate upon the Gospels every day. Read and meditate upon the Gospels every day. What did Jesus do in his public life? Jesus' public life lasted only 3 years. He carried out basically three activities. Preaching or teaching, miracles that he formed, and exorcisms. Do you know what an exorcism is? You ever hear the word an exorcism? What's an exorcism? Have you heard that word? No? Never heard that word? Exorcism means that he cast out devils. Sometimes he met people that would have a devil. Some of them have many devils, and he would cast those devils out. Does the devil still exist today? Does he? The devil still exists. And the devil is a liar. He tries to trick us into believing that we can commit sins and that's okay. We can defend God and, you know, that's okay. And the devil wants us to commit a bad sin or bad sins and to die in that. So if we die in that, then we're going to lose our soul. So that's what the devil wants. He wants us to commit a bad sin and not trust God, not go to confession and die in that state, so we lose our soul. That's his work. Okay, preaching. How did he preach? Jesus did not preach like the scribes and Pharisees who were not honest. Jesus preached with authority, unction and power. He moved many hearts away from sin. That means a conversion. He moved many hearts to love and serve God. A central block of the teaching of Jesus can be found in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. Where did Jesus preach? You're going to find that he preached in a lot of different places. A lot of different places. And in many places, Jesus taught and preached constantly. Some of the places where he taught would be the synagogues. You ever heard the word a synagogue? What's a synagogue? Do you know what a synagogue would be?
A Judas?
No.
Jewish.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a Jewish center of worship. Okay. Did you ever meet a Jew in your school? Maybe had a yarmulke on. Never met a Jew.
Okay.
You know, the Jewish people, they believe in God. They believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believe in Moses. They believe in the Old Testament, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. That's the big difference. And many of them are still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And so they have, in the time of Jesus, you had the synagogue, and every town would have a synagogue, but there would just be one temple. That temple would be in the city of Jerusalem. And the big temple was built by Solomon, who was actually the son of King David. It's kind of like in Los Angeles, you only have one cathedral. Have you ever gone downtown, any of you guys?
Yeah.
In downtown, you have this big cathedral, Our Lady of the Angels. So you got just one cathedral, but you have a lot of parishes. Got the idea? Here's a parish here. There's just a lot of parishes. Almost every city has a Catholic parish, but there's only one cathedral. And that's Our Lady of the Angels, which is downtown on Temple Street. Okay, so Jesus taught in the synagogue, and he taught in the right in the temple of Jerusalem. Then he also would teach on the shore of Galilee. Among his first followers, they were fishermen. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they were fishermen. And they fished in the Lake Galilee. So Jesus also taught in the boat of St. Peter. There were too many people on the shore. He had to get in the boat and preach from the boat. In the wilderness, and Jesus as he hung on the cross on Good Friday. Do you remember one of the words that he said as he hung on the cross Good Friday when he was hanging on the cross? He spoke seven times. Father?
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.
Perfect. Okay. That's what he said. Another one of the words? I thirst. Another one of the words? My God, why have you forsaken me? Another one of the words he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. How about to the good thief?
You shall join me in thy kingdom.
What was that?
You shall join me in thy kingdom.
Yes, today you'll be with me in paradise. Remember that one with the good thief? And he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he said, it is finished. So on the cross he actually spoke, he spoke seven times. So the cross was like a pulpit, which he's preaching is his last and greatest homily from the pulpit of the cross. Got that? Okay, let's talk about, so we talked about the preaching of Jesus. He did it in many places. Now we're going to talk about another one of his activities, and they're called his miracles. You know, if I were to take, this marker and it go up like this, I'm going to try to do it again. Try to do it again. Maybe one more time. If I were to do that and it were suspended in the air, that would be a miracle. Because what would happen is if you study physics, you have what is called the law of gravity. What goes up must come down, right? So if I were to do it and all of a sudden it's hanging up in the air and it's not falling, that would be a miracle. But I can't do miracles. God could do that. So God can sometimes suspend natural laws and do miracles, and the purpose is to get people to believe in Him. Now, sometimes get saints. Maybe you've heard of Padre Pio, any of you? Maybe you heard of John Bosco? Maybe you heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Some of these saints, they did incredible miracles, but they'd always say, I didn't do the miracles, God did the miracles, but He used me as an instrument. Okay? Did any of you see the movie of Padre Pio, the miracle man Padre Pio? He did a lot of miracles, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but I do know that he was able to be in one place. And if he was in Rome, he could have been in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's called bilocation. Do you remember the most famous one he did? He lived during the World War, and he was in Italy. And the Americans were, you probably know, the Americans were against the Italians and the Germans in the Second World War. Do you remember that? What had happened? What happened?
The Allies had launched like the Sicily campaign, where they take the island of Sicily and push up to central Italy and take Rome.
Yeah, so in the middle, a little bit below Rome, there was a place called Pietrelcina, where Padre Pio lived. The American bombarders were flying over where Padre Pio was in his convent. The American pilot was about to press a button to bomb his monastery. And all of a sudden, he looked up and he saw this guy with a beard and a brown habit that was flying in front of him like Superman, no? With his arms like this. And the pilot went like this, wow! So he didn't press the button to explode the bombs. So Padre Pio, he was flying in the air like Superman, and he was in his convent at the same time. So that's called the gift of bilocation. You know another one of his things he'd be able to do? He could read minds. Like, I can look at you to see if you're sad or you're happy or you look like you're kind of planning to do something mischievous, travieso. I can kind of look at you and kind of pick up las malas ondas y buenas ondas, as they say. But I can't read your mind. Maybe one day I'll be able to do it. I don't have that gift now. Read your mind, okay? But Padre Pio could read the minds of people. And if someone went to confession and they were hiding a sin, he said, hey, you forgot to tell me that you committed adultery against your wife.
So was that you, when the Italian actress came in, you told her that the things that she aborted was...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I preached that in the Mass once. Yeah, there was a... There was a woman that came to confess, and Padre Pio saw a room filled with nuns and priests and bishops and cardinals. And on the top, there was a man dressed in white. And Padre Pio said to the woman, if you were not to have had that abortion, that man dressed in white, he would have been your son. He would have been a pope. So a pope was aborted. So that's just one of the many miracles that Padre Pio was able to carry out. Many others, too. Yeah, he was able to do many incredible things. Hmm? He had the stigmata for about 50 years. Know what the stigmata is? He had the wounds of Christ for about 50 years. Okay, so let's move on to the next. And it is... Miracles, what are miracles? They're supernatural acts. Write that in there. They're supernatural acts done by God, by Jesus himself. I really like the topic of miracles, don't you? The miracles, they've always fascinated me. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Because of the hardness of the hearts of many and their slowness to understand his teaching message, Jesus performed miracles so that the people would, write it in there, would believe in him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, if you do not believe in my words, at least believe in my works. Only God can work miracles. Only God can work miracles. Now we're going to talk about the miracles that Jesus did. So you guys, can you name a miracle Jesus did? He did many. Yeah, quite a few. Okay, someone died, he brought back to life. He did a lot. What?
And resurrected.
Okay, his resurrection, that's good. What? Cured sicknesses, that's right. Turned water into wine. You know one?
Well, it's not like one he did, but I remember this one time when there was a priest who didn't, who was like not believing in God as much, and one day as he held up the It turned into the actual body.
Of and it was like the heart of Jesus, the heart tissue, right? That's right. That's the miracle of Lanciano. It happened about 1,500 years. That was a miracle. Yeah, good. That's a good one. Another miracle, Jesus? How about Jesus? Did Jesus walk on water? So Jesus walked on water. Is that a miracle? Yeah. How about Peter? Peter walked on water too, right? You know those guys that had that very serious skin disease? Remember what that's called? We had it. What's that?
Leprosy.
Did Jesus heal those guys?
Yeah.
How did he do it?
Yeah.
You know, one occasion for Thanksgiving, you're going to hear the healing of the 10 lepers, which was the gospel two Sundays ago. Jesus just said, "Go to the priest," and they're healed right away. Other times he'd actually touch a leper. Could that have been dangerous, touching a leper?
No.
Yeah, because that was a highly contagious disease, right? If you touch the leper, if you had an open sore, there's a good chance that you might even get the leprosy. Yeah. So we're going to go through a few of the miracles. You mentioned four or five. Jesus committed many more. Okay, so what type of miracles did Jesus perform? Jesus basically performed two types of miracles. To convince people that he was truly the Son of God and made man. These miracles were the following. Miracles over nature, miracles over nature, and miracles curing. Yeah, you can put curing human bodies. Okay. What are some of the miracles over nature? The miracles over nature would be the following: changing
water
into wine at Cana. Then, walking on water, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, calming the storm on the sea. What are some of the miracles over human bodies and healing? Okay, these are the most numerous of the gospel recounts. Here are a few of them: curing the lepers, restoring the sight to the blind, giving hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute. Jesus also healed the paralytics. Do you know what a paralytic would be? Someone that couldn't walk, right? That had problems with mobility. So he would heal paralytics. And healed a man with a withered hand. Jesus cured the woman with a constant blood flow. And three times it is recorded of Jesus bringing back to life the dead: the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow of Nain, finally what was considered the greatest miracle of Jesus before his own resurrection was the raising of Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days. After 4 days, Lazarus was buried. He was in the tomb. And Jesus went to the tomb. And they told him to roll away the stone. And he cried out, "Lazarus, come out." This guy who was in the tomb for 4 days came out. That was an incredible miracle. What do you think? 4 days in the tomb, and he came out of the tomb alive. That was the greatest. Okay, when did Jesus expel? Okay, exorcisms. How did Jesus perform exorcisms? Jesus expelled the devil or the devils who had entered into the bodies of individuals. You know, one of the most famous exorcists, his name is Gabriel de Morth. You know how people become possessed, according to him? The book is called The Exorcist, written by Gabriel de Morth. He was a chief exorcist in Rome for about 30 years, and he died about 2 years ago. First is when you're playing around with, like, witchcraft. In Spanish, brujería. You're playing around with witchcraft. Or maybe you're playing the Ouija board. What's that? Yeah, but you know, it's pretty common. You can actually buy that in, you know, certain stores, the Ouija board, or you can be playing with witchcraft. Well, you ever see the psychic readers here, you know, that are reading palms, reading your hands? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Your Toys R Us will sell the Ouija board, and I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Exorcist. Did any of you see that movie The Exorcist, the first one that came out? It's kind of scary, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that you should see it, but it starts off with this girl who's about 12 years old, and she starts by playing the Ouija board. And afterwards, she starts to act really weird, and actually she's possessed, and they have to bring in some exorcists. One older one from Iran, and then another one who was an ex-boxer, Father Rocky, and they were able to overcome, able to expel the devil from this girl. But it took a long time. It didn't happen overnight. So don't play around with the Ouija board. Don't go to these witch doctors. Don't go to have your hands read. Don't look into the crystal ball. Right here we got the psychic reader right here on Juan Avenue in Carson. Almost every town in L.A. has got one of these witch doctors or brujos that are trying to seduce people into going and consulting them. Yes?
Is it possible for people who are religious to get possessed?
Yes. Yeah. It could happen. We can open up our door to the evil spirit. Not to say if you go to one of these witch doctors right away the devil is going to get into it, but you're playing around with the evil spirit. You know, you guys are too young, but when I was your age, I was brought up and raised with what is called classical rock and roll music, and they had the Rolling Stones, and you had the Beach Boys, and you had the Beatles. This is way before your time, but the Rolling Stones, they've been together for about 50 years. And the chief singer, his a guy named Mick Jagger. Okay, they sung a song, and the name is "Sympathy for the Devil," the Rolling Stones. So even some of this rock and roll music, you can open up the door. And there's a group that lived many years ago. I don't think they exist anymore. And his name is Kiss. Know what that means? Knights in Satan's service. That's really the meaning of the Kiss. It's not besito, but rather knights in Satan's service. So there are different ways in which the devil can attack us. He said also another way in which the devil might be able to get into us is when parents curse their children. You should never do that. Parents should bless their children, not to curse their children. Another one would be a trial of God. God can allow it as a trial. One of the best ways to protect you from the devil is to wear a scapular. Do you know what a scapular is? When the scapulatio, you know, your mom and dad might be wearing, does your grandfather wear a scapular? Probably, right? You have a brown scapular, and that's really a way to protect us against the enemy. Oh, you have a scapular. That's a nice one. Ah, okay. Good. I gave him a scapular. You know who made that? My mother. So he's got a scapular that my mother made. My mother made a lot of scapulars, and she said, you give them out to whoever wants a scapular. No, they're probably all going to want a scapular for my mother now, Ralph. It's a good one because inside the scapula, I think I told you maybe, you got the medal, the miraculous medal, and you have the medal of Saint Benedict. So Saint Benedict is one of the most powerful medals against the attack of the devil. Yeah, the medal of Saint Benedict. Then the miraculous medal is the one probably most of you have seen around it. Have you seen it? Yeah. And it has, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to thee. And then on the back you've got the 12 stars, and you got the cross, and then you got the heart of Jesus, the heart of Mary below it. Yeah, called the miraculous medal because so many miracles have come about through wearing that miraculous medal. So you're well protected by wearing your scapula. Make sure you wear it until you get to heaven. Okay? All right. So exorcisms. Exorcism. How did Jesus perform exorcism? Jesus expelled the devil, or the devils would enter into the bodies of individuals. So number 15 is this. Jesus goes, he crosses over to a place called the Gadarenes. There's this guy who's in a cemetery. And the guy is really strong, and he's possessed by many devils. They try to chain the guy down with these chains and these shackles, and the guy actually rips and breaks the chains. So Jesus comes, and the guy is there, and Jesus talks to the guy, and they start to have a conversation, and he said, there's a lot of the devils within me. So Jesus looks at the guy, and the guy says, the guy speaks, but it's really the devil speaking through the guy, send us over there. Send us into them. So there was a group of pigs that were grazing on the mountainside, and Jesus said, go. And these many, many devils rush out of this guy, and they rush into all these pigs. There are a lot of them. Then they rush over the cliff, and they catapult themselves into the water, and all the fish, all the pigs drown. And then the man is there. He's totally freed of these many devils that were in him. That's probably the most famous case of Jesus doing exorcism in the whole Bible. So it wasn't just one devil, but it was a legion is the name. Legion, which means like a Roman legion, which would be a very big number. The Roman would have a legion. That would be a squadron of soldiers underneath the Roman dominion. So we see the power of Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than the devil. Right? Okay. So when did Jesus expel more than one devil from some person? Legion. You can read that in Mark 5, 1:20 tonight. A man was possessed by many devils. And Jesus expelled all of the devils from the man. They entered into the pigs grazing on the pasture and hurled themselves off the cliff, thereby drowning. The man was cured totally by the salvific action of Jesus. Number 16. Why did Jesus perform exorcisms? Jesus performed exorcisms to prove that he had power. Power over all. Even the devil and his evil forces. Even in the exorcisms of the devil, we should focus more on the power of Jesus than in the evil of the devil. Who did Jesus call to help him in his public life? Let's move from Jesus now to his followers. Who did Jesus call to follow him in his public life? What's that? Okay, they were called the apostles. Jesus wanted both helpers and friends to be with him in his public life. Jesus chose how many? 72 disciples. But how many apostles? 12. Jesus and the apostles. Who and what were the apostles? The word apostle actually means sent. It means sent. Jesus chose 12 apostles to be with him as his close friends. As his close friends. He wants you to be his close friend too. Then he sent them out to preach and to teach, to perform miracles and to exorcise devils. Can you name the 12 apostles? Pretty sure you can, right? Let's see if we can do it. We're going to name the 12 apostles. Okay, who was the first pope?
Peter.
Okay, let's write them down. So we're going to write down the 12 apostles. Okay, you got Peter. Well, who's his brother? He actually had a brother. He was crucified in the form of an X with ropes. He was on the cross for about 3 days. Andrew. They were two fishermen. Who is Jesus' best friend? It was St. John the Evangelist. So it was John. Who is John? Who is John's brother? James. Okay, and then there is Philip. And then there was also a second James. His name is James the Less. So we got half of them there. Okay, who's the one that wrote the first gospel?
Matthew.
So Matthew was also an apostle. Who was the one that doubted Jesus when he rose from the dead? Remember him? Jesus appeared. And he doubted, and he said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in his wounds. Thomas the doubter, according to tradition, went to India and died as a martyr in India. Did you ever hear of Bartholomew? He's also, his name is Nathaniel. Any of you know how Bartholomew died? Did you ever see your mother peeling potatoes or onions? He was skinned alive. Like you die that way? Kind of tough, huh? But then he didn't die, then they had to chop his head off. What a way to die, huh? Kind of shocking, right? So next time you go to Rome, to the Basilica of St. Peter's, you're going to see inside the church this majestic statue of him on one of the corridors, and he's holding this. It looks like a piece of paper, but it's really his skin that was peeled off. These guys really love God so much, they're willing to die for Christ. Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel. Then there was Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. Then there is a very famous apostle, a lot of people make novenas to, right? His name is St. Jude. St. Jude. Thaddeus. Do any of you know the one apostle that that betrayed Jesus. He ended by hanging himself. Maybe saw that movie of Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. What was his name? Do you remember his last name? No, that's this one. Begins with an I. Okay. Are you just stretching? Okay. Okay, Judas Iscariot. Okay. So it's Saint Jude. Thaddeus, and then the Saint, it's Judas Iscariot. You remember what he did? He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And he gave in despair. And he hanged himself. Could he have been forgiven?
Yes.
What did he have to do?
Confess.
He just had to tell God he was sorry, right? Would God have forgiven him? Yeah, just like that. Yeah. God always forgives us. Whenever we make mistakes, we just tell God we're sorry. And God forgives us, and we go to confession, and we return to peace. Right? God is good. He's slow to anger and rich in mercy and forgiveness, as the psalm teaches us. Never forget that, okay? Okay, so we got the 12 apostles. So you got them? You got them memorized? at least a few of them, right? All right. Where did Jesus live during his public life? Mary, this is going to be a bilingual mass in the new church. Okay. Okay, where did Jesus live during his public life? Actually, Jesus had no permanent abode. That means residence. During the course of his public ministry, he said, "Foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The lesson is this: call to call to trust in God. Got that? Call to trust in God and divine providence in all times, places, and circumstances. So we've learned of the private life of Christ, not the public life of Christ. We're building a huge edifice to get to know Christ. So let's say our prayer to the Blessed Mother. And we'll do the roll call, right? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, great. I'll leave that. Yeah.